What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Limits. Now there's a story on Trib Live about me returning to my journalism roots there.
I'm reading it right now.
Can you read the last line about my family? I really enjoyed that.
It says, a native of Long Island, New York, Starkey grew up in Buffalo and endured four Bills losses in four consecutive Super Bowls, but only after moving to Pittsburgh in 1989 to attend graduate school at Duquesne University. He lives in Greentree with his wife, Susie, his daughter, Marianne, and a tiny dog named Bailey.
Bailey finally made it. The press that he deserves.
I'm glad. I love Bailey.
Yeah. You've met Bailey. He likes
you,
too.
Multiple times. Great dog.
He's very trusting of the world. Again, on this morning's walk, he just walks up to random people from the Duquesne Light, somebody from a tree service, and just makes friends right away.
Muffin used to bark at people when like they would approach the door or saw a car coming down the driveway. But then as soon as somebody would enter the house, would immediately go up to them and try to, you know, embrace them.
Yeah.
Very nice of Muffin.
Shouldn't we all live our lives that way, Limits? Well, I guess not. You can't be too friendly at times, right?
Now she just doesn't bark at people when they walk into the door. She just goes up to them immediately, says hello, and then goes back to sleeping.
We always say if somebody, a stranger, tried to break into our house or something, that Bailey would be friends with them in like a minute. He pretends he's a watchdog and barks.
Yes.
But then as soon as somebody walks in, he thinks they may have food and wants to be friends right away.
Muffin is always on guard, but when it comes to protecting the household.
Not good.
I worry about her capabilities, yes.
Right. Not good. How about the future of the quarterback? Listen, I just had a horrifying thought here. I can open the show every year at this time and say it's time to move on to Tomlin. The horrifying thought I have after a brief discussion with Mulsey is this. There's a better percentage chance that they run the whole damn thing back with the quarterback and the coach than there is not. Do you agree with that? There is a better percentage chance that both the quarter and the quarterback was pretty good this year. The coach was okay. But it just wound up in a worse spot than ever. It wound up in another ditch.
Crowley gave the coach an A for his performance in the regular season.
I think they might run the whole thing back.
Well, we've already seen reporting that they're interested in bringing the quarterback back. And Rodgers has been non-committal either way on retirement or coming back. He's kind of just left it out there in the open for what he might want to do. I would agree with Malzi. There's probably a higher likelihood that they keep the coach.
No. I didn't say Malzi said that. I just said that after a conversation with Malzi, it struck me that that could very well be the case.
I would agree with you then, yes.
This is incrinculent. I mean,
let's talk about living in purgatory.
This is not incrinculent. It's the opposite of incrinculent. This is crazy, is what it is. Do we still have phone calls, Limits, or should we go to Aaron Rodgers? All right, let's get back
Either
to the phones then.
Your choice, Savvy Old News Hound.
Please.
Oh, and I see your tweets out there as well.
Yep.
I just gave it a retweet.
And Bailey's in the tweet as well.
Here is Gavin. He's in Morgantown.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. What's up, man?
What's up? So I first just wanted to talk about the game before the quarterback day. I felt like they kind of gave up on their scheme last night.
On what?
I'm driving through the tunnel right now. I apologize.
No, that's okay. I didn't hear you.
I think they gave up on their scheme last night with Jalen Warren and Kenny Gainwell. They didn't get enough. They did not get the ball enough. I mean, you talk about Jonnu Smith, Pat Freiermuth. They both had what, like 300 receiving yards this year? That's supposed to be the scheme, correct? That's
yeah.
The one, this heavy package, this heavy set. And I think it was an absolute fail. I was a fan of the scheme, and it was an absolute fail last night. And I kind of feel like they just stopped doing it, and that's kind of one of their issues. They kind of give up on their scheme. And it was disappointing. It was so disappointing. Now, what do you...
No, go ahead.
for the quarterback situation, I agree. I think we're probably going to get the same thing. I don't really know how to feel about Will Howard. I think people say, like, give Will Howard a chance, get him in the game is pretty ridiculous. He's the third-string quarterback right now for a reason. I don't think that's going to work out, if I'm being completely honest. I think you'll probably see – I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to return, but I could put my money that Mike Tomlin will be the coach next year. And my question to you is, how much in the Steelers and the organization hiring outside the organization for a new OC or a new DC? Because I think that's a problem. I mean, the last outside the hires they've had is Arthur Smith and, like, Ryan Flores, who they just put up in the booth. And it's like, come on.
So I hear you.
My question to you is, how confident are you in the Steelers in hiring outside the organization?
Not very. I mean, that seems obvious at this point. It seems so far beyond obvious to move on from Tomlin. However that comes about. And if I'm Art, I initiate the conversation, which he won't, and I make a decision as the guy who's entrusted to run this franchise. And to me, it's an obvious decision at this point. This isn't getting better. It's getting worse. It was the worst home playoff loss in the history of the franchise. To the quarterback, as I said earlier, you know, he played better than I thought he would. He was pretty darn good in a lot of games, but it's always better to part ways a year too early than a year too late. And we saw, I think, last night in the Cleveland game, a couple of others, of what this could become. More to the point, do you really think you have a chance to win the Super Bowl next year? That to me, would be the only scenario in which you bring back Aaron Rodgers. And the Steelers belong more with the non-playoff teams and non-contenders than they do with anybody who has a right to believe they can win it all next season. It's just time. But Rodgers had a pretty good year. It's very hard to read whether he wants to be back. Do you have a couple clips from him? Limits?
Yeah, so it kind of struck me a couple of different things that Rodgers said. First off, just about how they were never in control of the game before we go into some of the big picture things.
I don't feel like we ever got the momentum on our side, honestly. We had a lot of chances. Defense played really good in the first half. And, you know, they got a good defense. But we had a lot of opportunities. Didn't make the most of hardly any of them.
I completely disagree with his thought that they never had any momentum on their side. They forced three turnovers. One was inside the red zone. There was the Y.A. Black's interception or fumble, whatever you want to call it. They made significant defensive chunk plays where Tomlin preaches this turnover culture. And the offense just came out three and out. Stale-looking offense. No play calls down the field. I completely disagree with that assessment, Joe.
I think he might have meant offensively, but you're right. They did have chances. C.J. Stroud wanted to give them the game. He was begging to give them the game.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
After three quarters, it looked like a Tomlin win, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
That they were going to get outplayed, but the other team was going
to
screw it up. I was convinced of that, and it just never went that way. Let me say this though, Limits, is that the Texans have a great, great defense.
Yeah, is that what the 85 Bears looked like 40 years ago?
I mean, it kind of reminds me, and I want to see a little more because it looked like there were some plays for the Steelers to make that they simply didn't make. The Metcalf drop was gigantic. It reminds me of the Broncos with late-stage Peyton Manning who couldn't play anymore. It reminds me of the 2000 Ravens with Trent Dilfer. And even to a certain degree, although this quarterback was on a higher level, the 85 Bears in a way. And I'm not saying this defense is on that level, but they're trending toward that. If they make a run and win the Super Bowl, then they will be mentioned like that. They just bring a different level of physicality. Kenny Gainwell was tossed around like he was a tiny little doll. I mean, it was crazy. They are just violent. They don't try to trick you like they said on the broadcast last night. They line up and they beat the living you-know-what out of everybody. I mean, that was an incredible performance, and they are great defensively. The question is whether they can overcome their quarterback.
Here is what Rodgers had to say about his future, or maybe the lack thereof.
No, I mean, I'm not going to make any emotional decisions. Disappointed, you know, obviously, such a fun year. You know, a lot of adversity, but a lot of fun. Been a great year, you know, overall in my life in the last year, and this is, you know, a really good part of that, coming here and being a part of this team. So it's disappointing to be sitting here with the season over.
Well, I can assure you, well, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say, I can assure you the decision will be made quicker than it was last year. But then again, this is Art we're talking about. So I guess he'll just say to Aaron, you call me and tell me what you want. And to Mike, he'll say, you call me and tell me what you want to come back. Go ahead. You want the contract extension triggered? You just tell me if you want that. We'll do that. Would you like a new contract? Give me a call. You're more than welcome to a new contract, a lifetime contract, a piece of the team, ownership, anything you want. You call me, Mike. And Aaron, same thing. Just tell me what you want. So I don't know. I mean, in a sensible world, and if there were a real boss there, he would tell Aaron Rodgers, we got to know soon. Not tomorrow, but we got to make some decisions here. Just let us know.
Remember, you know, when they asked him right around the draft, how much longer can you wait for Aaron? And he said, a little while longer.
Yeah.
A little while longer now.
That's become the metaphor for the entire franchise. How much longer can you watch this? A little longer. A little longer. And that's just going to keep going. So, I mean, if I were Art, I would tell them both, it's time.
Yeah.
Because it is. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Here is one more from Rodgers. This is more on him and the idea of changing the head coach.
When you have the right guy and the culture is right, you don't think about making a change. But there's a lot of pressure that comes from the outside, and obviously that sways decisions from time to time. But it's not how I would do things and not how the league used to be.
Yes, it is, and you're wrong, basically. I've pointed out on several different occasions today that when he came into the league, there were all kinds of coaches who were having success or were about to have major success who would soon be fired. When you don't win in the playoffs, you don't win enough in the playoffs. You've always been under fire in the NFL, and you always will be, period. That's it. End of story. Andy Reid was in the league when Rodgers came in, having great success in Philly, would be fired. Tom Coughlin pushed out in New York. He would have great success. He was in the league then. Brian Billick was in the league then. Marvin Lewis having success in Cincinnati, he'd be fired. John Fox in Carolina was in the league when Aaron came in. He was fired. These guys have been around for 19 years. Mike Tomlin has the longest losing streak in the history of the NFL, playoff losing streak, with Marvin Lewis. He can't get it done. Do you need more evidence that he can no longer get it done in the playoffs? So what he said there was just flat wrong. Anyway, Mongoose next.
Could I give you a very quick 30-second theory?
Please.
I think that there is a better chance than we think that Aaron Rodgers plays next year. Because do you think somebody like Aaron Rodgers and the way that he analyzes things and thinks about things would take himself out of the game in a 30-6 matchup against the Texans, knowing that his final pass attempt in his NFL career was a pick six? I don't.
You know, if he doesn't, it's a lot, man. It's a lot to put your body through. And his body went through a lot this year. I think there's probably a 50-50 chance in his mind that he's coming back, maybe less.
I'm surprised he didn't go right back out there after the interception.
I hear
Even
you.
It was just to throw a couple more passes or run the ball. That kind of struck me.
But he was asked about that. Why'd you come out? He said, because it was 30-6.
Right.
He did erase, I think, the Jets memory and replaced it with a new one. And yes, the final game was ugly, the final games for a lot of great NFL quarterbacks was kind of ugly, but the final year wasn't really. He came back and proved he could play. And I think that may be enough for him. Mongoose, next.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.